This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management, downtown Cody. Call today for no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town. Mountain High Health Foods for health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living. Stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody and Wyoming Home and Ranch. They have a great selection of dog food, home decor, the best lawn and garden section in town. Stop into Wyoming Home and Ranch on Bighorn Avenue in Cody for tools, products, and expert advice for all your projects. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling West callers, please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Before we get started, I just want to let listeners know that we are trying out our second phone line today. My guest, Cody Beers, is on via the telephone, and we're going to give it a try. If we have some technical difficulties, we'll go to a break, and we'll get back, Cody, on the studio line. But as I said, joining me today from the Wyoming Department of Transportation, Cody Beers. Cody, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You sound like you're in it. Different county, but can you hear me all right?
Yeah, no, you sound okay. I guess
we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot and see how it goes. And I appreciate you coming joining us. I know you're busy there in Riverton, couldn't get up here to Cody, but it's always good to have you on.
Well, it's my fault. Last week I showed up and I didn't want to get in front of Darren and Tim talking about the Cody Bronx, and I missed it by a week. It was my mistake, and so I did have another meeting planned for today, and so I appreciate the ability to call in today, and I do want to wish congratulations to the Cody Bronx, 3A state football champions, and of course they're my my alma mater, and it was my pick to win state. They got on a heck of a roll, and nobody was going to deny them of a state championship, and not even a very good Torrington team who had walked through the competition most of the year.
You know, Cody, you could have joined us that day. You know, Tim, you and I, we could have talked football and just about everything.
You know, I kind of enjoyed the second half of that program where I think Tim said the word I like 22 times, and I was waiting for him to play during the game.
Oh, okay. I think he probably would have if he would have gotten the opportunity.
That guy has had the golden voice on many, many state championships in Cody now.
He has. They're on a roll.
Yeah. Football. Just an amazing run by Cody High School. And, you know, the mentality in Cody reminds me of when I was a kid. Cody used to step on the field or on the court or on the mat, and they expected to win every time. And they do that now.
And it's, yeah, you're certainly right. They've won football, a few years ago. Football again this year, of course. Basketball a couple years ago as well. So they've had a pretty good run athletically, Cody has.
They have, and it's the same names. You hear the Grenzes, you know, you're hearing all those different names, the Boudries, Wasilla, all those names, and again, congratulations to the Cody Bronx, state champions again.
Now, I want to ask you, Cody, as we get into gear on what's happening with YDOT, just can you provide us, is there an update to be had with the rock removal project on US 14, 16, 20 near Buffalo Bill Reservoir? How's that going, is it finished?
No, it's not finished. Matter of fact, it'll probably, depending on how quickly winter really sets in, it'll probably finish next spring. They have to be by contract finished up by May 30th on that job. They've got one more blast set up on that big rock blasting area, number 6. They're up there working, trying to get it drilled out right now and bring down some rocks that are still kind of hung up there on the slope. But they're moving back toward the big tunnel right now. They're installing a rockfall fence They're putting mesh in. They're continuing to do some scaling as they can. We did put more barrier up in that area where we've been blasting because the last blast didn't work exactly like we hoped it would. And so that's why they're setting up for blast number six now. It's safe. You know, our guys are monitoring it all the time. The workers are in there. They're going to work as long as they can this fall, and then they'll shut down for the winter and finish up around May 30th next spring. So,
do you get the feeling that
well out of there before the height of the tourist season takes place?
Do you get the feeling that I guess motorists, for the most part, are getting adjusted to the stops and so forth, and it's not many issues at this point with traffic.
Not many issues at all. People up there have been pretty understanding. You know, we've had a few comments from folks, but I think people understand what's going on now. Our intention was to get people moved through every day on their way to work and school, and then get them back home without too much stopping at night. So there's been, times to drive through that project without delay between 7 a.m. and 8:30 in the morning and between 4:30 at night and 6. And people understand that, and that works pretty well. There still is a high number of people that, it's amazing, they drive back and forth from the North Fork several times a day, and they get stuck in that traffic lines. But everybody understands why the project was being done, and actually a good part of the reasoning for doing that project was based on the fact that the public citizens were telling us that there was a problem there, and they were concerned about safety and all that. And so we've been in there working, and we're trying to get out of there as quickly as we can. But when you're dealing with a project like that, you just don't know everything and what the total scope of the project is until you're working on it.
You know, visually, Cody, when this thing gets wrapped up, what are motorists going to notice? Are they going to notice anything particular that can say, hey, we could tell that Whiteout was in here and fixed things up? Are they going to be able to see the work, I guess, so to speak, when it's done?
You know, the probably the one area they'll see the most is where the big the rock blasting has happened. We've done 5 rock blasts there, and they've taken off basically the edge of that hillside. Where we did have rock that was almost leaning over the road at one point. That rock's all going to be gone. To the fine eye, to a guy driving by it at the speed limit, you're not going to notice a lot of difference, other than we believe what you will notice is less rocks on the road.
That's a good thing.
And improved safety through that area. It's a project that had to be done, and it's not been a project without consequences, as we all know, but it is a project that we've got a good contractor working on, a good sub, and by its very nature, it's somewhat hazardous duty, because you're rolling rocks all day long, you're blasting rocks. It's a very visible, high-interest project from people in that area, so... social media has been a big deal on this project, as every blast has been filmed and put out by the contractor and YDOT so that people could see what we're doing up there. It's been a lot of major rock work, and I think people will feel the benefits of safety driving through that project.
Since you mentioned social media, I thought I'd just ask you, how much has, for example, Facebook, maybe even Twitter, whatever outlets you guys use at YDOT, I know you do a lot of it, how important has that been from YDOT's perspective, and how has that changed, perhaps even a bad way, what you guys do?
Well, I think what it's done in every realm of, whether it's government or just life, is that now everybody has a camera all the time. They have the hookup to the internet, and they're hooked into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these other, Snapchat, all this other stuff. And I have not even tried to really understand what Instagram and Snapchat are about, other than I really believe that when parents started getting on Facebook, kids moved to Twitter. And when parents moved to Twitter, kids got on Snapchat and Instagram, because parents of my age in their early 50s don't really understand that stuff. And so the younger generation has helped to fuel this. But it, what it's done for YDOT is we get a lot of input now on social media. We get a lot of comments based on what people read in traditional media, or whether they hear it on traditional media like KODI. And then they become a reporter. You know, people driving around or taking pictures and sending them to me, putting them out there on their own Facebook pages, putting them out on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. And what we have to do then is we have the ability to monitor what's out there so that we can respond to things. A good case in point here recently was we had a working meeting between YDOT and the city of Cody, and one of the topics that came up was the 17th Street and Sheridan Avenue intersection, which in my whole life it's been an intersection which has provoked a lot of comment as people enter off East Sheridan Avenue driving west, or whether they're turning left and driving east down there by the Holiday Inn. And for whatever reason, and I don't know exactly the background on this, but a reporter was invited to come to that working meeting between the city and state, and one of the topics was that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was written about, and then the local newspaper there in Cody put it on their Facebook page, and there was over 120 some comments, positive, negative, leave it alone, change it. I would guess probably 60 to 40 people were saying, leave it alone.
Hmm.
It works. We need better enforcement down there, all that. Basically what that did for us at YDOT is it provided some really valuable public comments.
And oh, absolutely.
I'm not sure that the city feels the same way, but we like to have public comment in everything we do. And, you know, we got a lot of social media comments on the 8th Street project, too, that we did last summer. And, you know, all of that comment helps us to make better decisions out there. And so we monitor all that stuff. Sometimes we respond to some of it. I weigh in sometimes if I feel like I need to explain what they're talking about.
Sure.
But it's been a very valuable thing for us. Not everybody likes it, that's reality in today's world. We're being watched out there as public servants. We understand it, and you know, I don't think we should have anything to hide. So why not have people watching what we're doing?
Now, while we're talking about it, I'll let you go ahead and just let people know if they don't already. I know you got a million followers on Facebook, Cody, yourself. But if you can, you're on Facebook. It's your personal Facebook page. Let people know where they can, like you or follow you or whatever they do on Facebook.
Well, they can just call up Cody Beers on Facebook, and you know, if they want to friend me, they can. I don't accept all friend requests.
Whoa,
I kind of vet those, but but if it's somebody that I at least have an acquaintance with, or I know who they are, where they live, I will friend them, because the idea is to get our information out there and provide a forum where people can contact me. It's the messenger side of Facebook is extremely valuable. Because a lot of people are able to get right to the person they want to ask a question in today's world and get a response. And, you know, I think that that's the key in any public information effort, whether it's for YDOT or whether it's for the radio station or city government, county government, whatever it is you need to be responsive to the citizens. And you need to answer their questions, do it respectfully, and I think it leads to greater understanding of what government's role is in our lives, and you know, the things that government's doing out there every day. Whether you agree with it or not, I do think it's very important to make those comments.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on Speaker Peace. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Cody Beers of YDOT, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods inviting you to join us this Saturday for our holiday open house. Sample foods, register to win gift certificates, enjoy specials, and browse through new arrivals. Everything from vitamins to health foods to our new boutique filled with mittens, scarves, ponchos, leggings, and more. The Holiday Open House, Saturday, 9:30 to 5 at Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Your healthy holiday helpers.
Break out that grill with the highest quality locally raised meat from Wyoming Legacy Meats. Their state-of-the-art USDA processing facility guarantees a wide selection of all-natural beef, steak, and pork. All Wyoming Legacy Meat products carry the seal of safety, freshness, and a rich deliciousness. They specialize in customizing your order by cutting and packaging your meat just the way you like it. From our family ranches to your family's table, get a taste of Wyoming. Wyoming Legacy Meat, 74 Road 2AB, Cody, Wyoming.
Dental implants have given thousands of people a second chance to enjoy the foods they love, to smile with confidence, and get their lives back after tooth loss. Billings Oral Surgery offers dental implants to our patients in the Bighorn Basin at our Cody location. World-class dental care from a highly skilled team, close to home. Billings Oral Surgery on Bighorn Avenue in Cody. To schedule a consultation, call 587-5451.
Bighorn Co-op would like to announce it is time for their 94th annual meeting, which will be held on November 15th at the Grable Elks Lodge. Doors will open at 11 a.m. with lunch being served at noon, and the business meeting will begin at 1 p.m. This year's door prizes are beef bundles from a local beef purchased at the Washakie County Junior Livestock Auction. All patrons of the Bighorn Co-op are encouraged to attend the 94th annual meeting November 15th at the Grable Elks Lodge. Doors open at 11.
This year, plan something different for your holiday party. This is Chef DeWitt from Monster Lake Ranch, and we can host anywhere from 10 to 200 people. The food, the decor, and the scenery make it a truly great party. We'll also be serving a special Christmas Eve dinner, and you can join us any Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night from 5 to 9. Our menu is always changing and always delicious. Call today to learn more. Monster Lake Ranch, 10 minutes south of Cody, 587-5960.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wyoming Army National Guard. Aired by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome to GEICO's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to GEICO. I scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is if we call bicycles bikes and tricycles trikes, shouldn't we call motorcycles mics? Maybe a bunch of guys named Mike teamed up and put a stop to it.
GEICO Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Walgreens has good news for everyone who uses Medicare Part B for diabetes testing supplies. We've got your back, or in this case, your test strips. Walgreens accepts Medicare assignment and full coverage supplemental insurance, so you'll pay as low as $0 out of pocket, which is the same as mail order. Pick up the medications you rely on and save on all major brands like Contour Next and Walgreens True Metrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick with Cody Beers of YDOT. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Cody, before we go into dive into some projects that YDOT's working on around Cody, I just want to go back real fast to 17th and Sheridan. And I get the feeling, and this is neither a compliment nor a complaint, but toward the city or the state or anything, but I get the feeling just as of now, I don't think anything's going to be done with that intersection at 17th and Sheridan. I would be surprised if anything gets done, considering all the feedback they've gotten, especially from the businesses in the area with the no left turn against the no left turn thing. I don't think there's anything that's going to be done at this point. I really don't. What do you think?
Well, right now, I think everybody's in agreement, both on the city side and the state side, that there's not a whole lot of really good data that exists on that intersection. We've heard a lot of information put out there saying there's all these near misses in the intersection with cars nearly hitting each other. I've heard several things about pedestrians, that type of thing, but there's really no data that supports doing anything differently. We have more crashes a block to the west at 16th and Sheridan than we ever have at 17th and Sheridan because of that really heavily used intersection and of two state highways there. So what we have told the city is that they can write us a letter, which they have done, and we do have planning funds available that if they are approved by, first, our district engineer, Pete Halston, out of Basin, and second, in Cheyenne, that we could make some of these planning funds available so the city could conduct an independent analysis of the intersection and what the impacts would be, for instance, if the decision was made to close that intersection. What would happen to that traffic that tries to turn left there or is driving west there? What would happen there? Would it all go to Beck and drive through that residential neighborhood? Would it turn at Bleistein and drive in front of Eastside School? What would happen to that traffic? So right now, that letter is working its way through our process at YDOT, and we may have some funds available to help the city conduct that study, which what they would do is they would put out a bid and hire an independent engineering firm to do that work. And then we would have some better information as to what the impacts of a closure, what the impacts of that current intersection is, whether they put cameras there and watch what happens. That would be a decision that would be between the city and that independent contractor. But YDOT, we do have some funds that we could make available to help them with that study. And that's being considered right now.
You know, another point on this whole traffic thing, and I'll bring up the other intersection that I've talked to you about before, the city I've talked about as well, is that so-called T intersection, 16th and Depot Drive, that the hill up alongside the law enforcement center, which is Highway 120, but where you come up the hill and you turn left or right. Now, you've mentioned this before, and it's been mentioned previously, just about a roundabout, and maybe putting the possibility of a roundabout there. I mean, not that there's many serious talks about it, just throwing that out there. Now, what has to be done for a roundabout to be placed there, maybe at 17th and Sheridan, or maybe anywhere? That sounds like a lot of work, because you need a lot of room to put some kind of roundabout, right?
Yeah, let's clarify that a little bit. We were just having fun talking.
Oh, absolutely. But, no, we were
Yeah, you need land, and the good thing about that intersection above the law enforcement center is there is some city land right across the street.
Not like a little grass park area, yeah.
If you ever decided you wanted to build a roundabout there, there have been no decisions in that intersection. I want to be clear about that.
Not even talked about, really.
No.
Besides us, yes.
that area would lend itself to that. If you ever wanted to build something at 17th and Sheridan, it would have to be a roundabout that would handle big trucks. It would have to handle all sizes of vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably take a little more space. And, frankly, I don't think there's enough traffic using East Sheridan Avenue to even justify the use of a roundabout there. But then you'd have to get into acquiring property, and that could be contentious because you've got some really important businesses in that area that are important to the city of Cody. That corner on the other side of that intersection has been one of the most influential car businesses through Cody's history.
Sure.
And granted, it's not owned by the same people now, but I I don't sense that there would ever be a roundabout there. There might be some discussion at some point in the future about one being at the 16th Street Depot Drive or whatever you called it there. I call it Wyoming 120, but at that intersection.
Sure.
There could be some future discussion there about that possibility. Right now, it does not meet the warrants at all for a traffic signal. There are two busy times of the day when people are driving to work and to school and when people are driving home from work and to school and from school. So there's only really two times of the day when that intersection is really busy, especially if you come to the top of the hill and you want to turn toward Powell.
Yep, that's where it's big.
That is a difficult situation there, and sometimes you have to wait. Now, I don't know what the average wait time is there. I've been told by some pretty high-ranking folks in the Cody area that they've sat there for 15 minutes. If I was there for more than two, I'd probably turn right and find a different way. And 15 minutes is a really, really long time to sit at an intersection. We don't have any intersections like that in northwest Wyoming.
So what, now the whole roundabout thing is brought up in communities just because it's just an option for a traffic light, and it's there's not the cost associated with the traffic light. Is that right?
That's true. Roundabouts, by their nature, are much easier to build. And once built, you don't have the maintenance of those things. You have to figure out how to plow them in Wyoming, and you've got to make sure they're big enough to handle trucks, and they've got to be able to handle in some sort of way pedestrian traffic. Roundabouts are becoming more common all the way around Wyoming, and to a lesser extent in Wyoming. We're building a few of those. We've built one over by Jackson. We've built some down in southeast Wyoming, and they're not going away, folks, because traffic signals are very expensive, and they really don't solve the problem of traffic congestion. Roundabouts keep traffic moving.
And people in Cody will.
The safety factor is much higher.
And people in Cody are familiar with them, for the simple fact is there's it seems like a bunch in Billings. When you go up to Billings, there's a lot of roundabouts that you have to get around. So there is somewhat maybe some can say confusion with the roundabout, but like you said, they keep the traffic flowing. I think once you get used to them, they could be effective.
They are effective, and what other states have seen is that the types of crashes that you have in signalized intersections or where you have stop signs, they go away. You don't have the rear end collisions that you have in those intersections anymore. And what you need, and I experienced it last summer when I spent 6 weeks in Europe, is you need courteous drivers to make those things work.
Oh boy.
And bottom line, we need more courtesy with our driving habits.
I would agree.
Everybody has got a life they're leading, and they're packing that in their vehicle. And we need to put some of those bad things away in our mind and be courteous when we're out there driving, and it would help all of us.
You know, I want to jump to, I know you guys are doing the YDOT, that is, some projects. There's a project south of Cody, and they're talking about going back to the tunnels, something that the project they're going to be working on. Can you tell us a little bit about both of those?
Yeah, south of Cody, we are doing pavement improvement projects. Over the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to redo all the pavement between Cody and Meteetse. And the first project was slated to go this fall. Well, we just ran out of time, and the temperatures started getting too cold. The contractor has been out there, though. They finished working on the sides of the road. Anytime you do a pavement overlay, you kind of have to build up the shoulders a little bit so that slope off the pavement is not as steep. And they've got that work done. And today they're supposed to be back in there putting the delineator posts back in place that were taken down. And that will help the level of safety this winter. But then McGarvin Moberly out of Worland is the contractor. They plan to be back in May. They'll be paving, and they'll chip seal that piece of road by the end of June, and they'll be out of there. Now, west of Cody, we do have a project there around the big tunnel. With the increase in climbing activities near the big tunnel, we have made the decision to reopen that parking area right before the big tunnel. And that project was put out to bid this month. We're not sure if it will get awarded because it actually came in 40% over the engineer's estimate to do that work. But if the Wyoming Transportation Commission does award that project this week, that work would be done by contract by the end of April, and then there would be a couple days of paving and chipping in June in that parking lot. And what's that going to look like? Well, when you drive through that second tunnel, you're going to have a right turn only option into that little parking lot. And then when you exit, you'll have a right turn only option as you leave that parking lot. So if you're heading back to Cody, you're going to have to right turn out of there, drive through the tunnel, turn into the parking lot at the dam, and come back past the climbing area. But with all that being said, that will make that area much safer than it currently is. But because currently what we've got is we've got pedestrians parking, well, people are parking before the first small tunnel.
That's right, yeah.
And they're walking through the two small tunnels to get to that climbing area. And so we have made the decision. We think this is much safer. Let's get people to drive in there, park, do their recreation, have a great time, climb all over those rocks, and then get in their vehicle, buckle up, and drive out of there safely, as opposed to walking through that tunnel during this, or those tunnels during the summer when we have high traffic counts.
You said reopen that area for parking. Was it open at one time, I think?
Yeah, it used to be wide open. There was actually a restroom in there. Back in the 70s and early 80s, that area was closed by the maintenance foreman at that time. And the district, the maintenance foreman was my dad.
Ah, so that's
and
how you know it.
The reason that was closed is because there was an inordinate amount of vandalism in that area.
Oh, geez.
So we really need people and all the climbers and all the groups that will be in that area to take care of it. There will not be any public restrooms there this time, but there will be a safe place to park, and you'll be right there at your climbing area, at your recreation area, with your vehicle off the highway.
And that's right. That's right before the big tunnel. Is that where that is?
Yeah, it's between the second tunnel as you're leaving Cody and the big tunnel on the right side of the road.
How much traffic? I mean, do you have an estimation or have an idea just how many people use that area for climbing? Has it just grown over the years? Or
it has grown over the years. Of course, the whole idea of climbing has, that piece of recreation has grown big time over the years. That equipment's much easier to buy now. People enjoy climbing on rocks. They always have. Schools now have climbing walls. Mm-hmm. Just about every school has one. It's just viewed as good recreation and good exercise, and some people are good at it. I'm not, because I'm afraid of heights, but some people love that stuff, and they love tying themselves to a rock wall and climbing to the top of a mountain. And, you know, more power to them, and we just want to make sure that they're safe. What we have noticed, Darren, is that, and anybody who drives the North Fork has noticed, it seems like in the spring, summer, and fall, there's always a couple vehicles sitting before that first tunnel on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
And those are people that are getting out of their vehicle, and they're walking through those two tunnels to this climbing spot. So we want to make them as safe as possible around the roadway, and so that's why we're reopening this parking area. I think it'll be very popular, and I think that the people using this area will take good care of it.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Brent Holder. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Cody, the other day some gentleman told me that because his car doesn't have a license plate holder on the front, he only needs to put one on the back.
That is, everything I've read is in Wyoming, that is not true.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
You have to have a plate in Wyoming on the front of your vehicle and the back of your vehicle.
He claimed he called DOT, and that's what they told him. And I went, what?
Well, I can sure find out, but that has never been my understanding of that law.
Yeah, mine either, not in Wyoming. One other quick question. If you would find out, that would be good. What's going to be the capacity of that parking area, like 10 or?
I think there's about 10 parking spots there. It's not going to be able to handle buses or motorhomes or anything like that. It's passenger vehicles, pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's been closed a long time. You guys have a good day. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks for the call. You know, Cody, I noticed that it looks like recently. I don't know if there was a White Eye had a sign auction that I think we might have talked about this before, but yield $33,000 for road improvement projects. What was that all about?
Well, every 8 years we trade out the Welcome to Wyoming signs as you enter. For instance, on 120 out past Clark, the state border's out there.
Sure.
And as you re-enter from Montana, there's a Welcome to Wyoming sign. And this last go-around, they used a lot more artwork. They're beautiful signs that were up for the past 8 years. And there was an idea in Cheyenne that it might be kind of fun to take five of these signs from the five districts all over Wyoming. You know, one from northwest Wyoming, one from northeast Wyoming, one from central, one from southwest, one from southeast, and put them up in a public auction website. Because people are always asking for those signs. And what we found was people put a high value on those signs. And five signs sold for $33,000.
Boy, that's pretty good.
And those are signs that were welcoming people to Wyoming, so they do mean something to a lot of people. And there was a pretty competitive auction held, and we were actually overwhelmed by the response. And that's money that's going right back into the state coffers to serve the people of Wyoming.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Morning, guys. Glenn Schultz.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, you're talking about putting a parking lot between the tunnels there, is that my understanding, for the climbers?
That's correct, just north of the big tunnel.
Well, I can't imagine that, but I think it all boils down to the safety of the people who are parking east of the tunnels and walking through the tunnels. Is that...
That's correct.
Well, it seems to me the safety of walking through the tunnel pales in comparison to the safety of climbing those dead gum rocks and also entering and leaving that parking lot in between the tunnels. That doesn't seem to make a lot of logical, reasonable sense to me. But that's me. I just hate to see it, but hopefully it'll be discouraged. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Oh, by the way, Cody, on the west side, just before you get to where they're doing the construction coming from the west, there's a gigantic rock that looks like it's going to slide any minute. I mean, it's been there for hundreds of years, I guess. But is there any concern about that as long as those guys are in the area of getting that all the way off of its slanted perch position there? You know which one I'm talking about?
No, I think I do, yeah.
Well,
as far as the climbing area, back to your question, the whole idea is to make people safer and have them drive their vehicles to the location where they're going to recreate over parking on the side of the road and then walking through the tunnels that are not lit up, by the way.
That's
the idea, is to keep them safe in their vehicles longer.
if you want
people
to keep
are
them
driving
safe,
the speed limit, they will be safe.
If you want to keep them safe, restrict the whole goal them from
is,
climbing
you know,
the rocks.
We work those speed limits a lot in that area, our highway patrol does, and if people are driving 35 through there, there shouldn't be any trouble finding a gap to turn right out of that parking lot and then drive up to the dam and turn around and come back.
Hey, Cody, has there ever been a point, Glenn mentioned this, and maybe it's worth asking, I mean, restricting climbing because of where the climbing is between those tunnels? It does seem a little bit dangerous, is probably lack for a better word, but I mean, they ever thought about maybe just restricting climbing in that area at all?
I believe that was done at one time, but over time, climbers are going to find the challenging climbs, and they're going to keep going there, and word gets out, and more people come.
I've seen it
down in the Lander area a lot. Lander's turned into a climbing mecca because there's so much to climb, and the same with Cody in the winter when they're climbing ice.
Hey, Glenn, go ahead. Glenn had a comment. Go ahead, Glenn.
People are climbing everything these days, and you know, it's public land.
Go ahead, Glenn.
It's just amazing, this conversation. They're talking about safety, and now we're talking about climbing vertical rocks and vertical ice formations, and we're concerned about a couple of people walking through the tunnel. It just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, guys. Have a good day, and talk to you later.
Thanks for the call, Glenn.
Well, just to finish that off,
sure,
we are the highway department. We're not the climbing department. And so we've got to keep people safe on the highway. And when they're walking through tunnels where there are not pedestrian walkways through those tunnels, that's our job.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you,
we're going to keep people safe on the highway, Darren.
That's surprising that someone would even walk through those tunnels. Is there even enough room on the side to even walk like that?
There is. There's really not a walkway there, but there is a curb and gutter through those tunnels, and you can get on the other side of the curb and gutter as a pedestrian.
Jeez.
This is not something new. This has been going on, for 20 years. People park right by that first tunnel, get out and walk through those tunnels. And we really believe that people will be safer if we reopen that parking area and get them pulling their cars into a parking area and then getting out and doing their recreation.
Let's go to the phone line.
It's not my job to say what's safe and what isn't safe when it comes to how people recreate.
Caller, go.
My job is highway safety.
Caller, go ahead. Your name, first and last name?
Good morning, guys. This is Steve Torrey.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, on that caller that wanted the license plate information, it's available online with the Wyoming state statutes. You can just look at that. If he's still listening, then it's just dial in Wyoming statutes, and it's 31-2-205, and it's a subparagraph of that one that says, I think it's like way down there by Q, that says you have to have both license plates displayed. 31-2-205, Wyoming statute.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
We are going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Cody Beers of YDOT, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
Hello, this is Adam Redland, your auctioneer, Warner Livestock Auction. We understand the trust that hardworking ranching families place in their livestock marketing source. This is how Jim and Stacy Newby have been able to increase our head count sold annually by more than 6,000 head each year, building long-lasting relationships with honesty and integrity. With more than 30 years in livestock marketing, you can trust Jim and Stacy's experience and knowledge. Warner Livestock Auction is tailored to add more dollars to your bottom line with our close location and lower commission than any of our competitors. Please call Jim at 431-9999.
Uncle Ray for Garvin Motors of Powell. You know, when you're thinking about a used car or truck, I'd like to help you remember the letter S, as in selection, lots of cars and trucks to test drive, or savings, prices for every budget. An S is in service before the sale to help you find just the right one, and after the sale with a service department second to none. Stop, shop, and save at Garvin Motors of Powell. Your chariot awaits.
Do you have a washer that leaks, a dryer that squeaks, or a fridge that won't freeze meat? Then give me, Ken Lee, your friendly neighborhood appliance man, a call at 250-0340. Visit our website at yourappliancemen.com or call Ken Lee, 250-0340.
Your Appliance Man, providing service to all of Cody and Powell. Find Your Appliance Man online at yourappliancemen.com.
This is Brandon Douglas, Real Estate Loan Officer for First Bank of Wyoming. We are excited to offer competitive rates to those who are looking to purchase a new house or refinance their existing home. Stop in to see us in Powell or visit our other experienced lenders located in Cody and Lovell. We provide personal service that our customers have come to expect from their local bank. Your loan officer will be there every step of the way to answer questions and guide you through the lending process. Come in today and turn your dream of owning your own home into a reality. First Bank of Wyoming, where you are first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you need a doctor but can't afford one? Heart Mountain Free Clinic in Cody provides free medical care by a licensed doctor and nurses for eligible people in the Bighorn Basin. The clinic is open Thursdays from 6 to 9 p.m., located at 1735 Sheridan Avenue, room 205. Call 272-1753 for more information or to make an appointment. This message is brought to you by Bighorn Radio Network Cares and McGee's Roofing. Reliable and experienced roofing is their specialty. They only offer roofing services, and they do the best job. McGee's Roofing.
Make your home light up with joy this holiday season with great decorations and savings from Lowe's. If you love inflatables, you're in luck because you can get an inflatable Flying Ace Christmas Snoopy now for only $99. That's a $100 savings. And customize your light show indoors or out with a GE 7-foot pre-lit LED spiral design rope tree now for just $39. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid 11/8 through 11/15 while supplies last. See store for details.
Back, that little voice inside your head. We both know going to Office Depot Office Max for 50% off print services is super smart. And your biz could use an Epson printer for $70 off. Now $79.99 plus 50% off signs and banners. Oh, you deserve this. So let's go. Office Depot Office Max.
Taking care of business.
Offers end 11/18. Limit one. Get 50% off coupon in store or visit officedepot.com/save.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick-Tanvizing with Cody Beers of Wydot. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. We want to turn our attention to winter driving, Cody. And I was going to say, well, we should prepare for it, but heck, winter with the official start of winter still over a month away, winter has pretty much already started in Wyoming, I guess you can say.
Well, it definitely has in the Cody area. You guys got hit heavy the last month or so, and when I was there last week, I was thinking, my, it's going to be really bad when I get home to Riverton tonight, and believe it or not, I drove home to Riverton and mowed my yard and mowed up all the leaves.
That's
funny.
We
haven't had near the winter that you've all had in the basin. It struck early and often, and so I don't need to tell people how to drive. I mean, people... we all need to slow down, of course. We all know that, and we need to look out for other drivers, and we need to watch out for snow plows. And if we do all those things, we'll be pretty safe. And by buckling our seat belts, we'll do it. But at Wydot, you know, we're out there plowing. We're using sand. We're using salt brine in our sand, and you know, it's helping us a lot to get the roadways back to a drivable condition much faster. I know that some of the people that I've talked to in the Cody area aren't the biggest fans of the amount of salt, which is about 7% that we place in our sand. And we've always used salt in our sand to keep our sand piles from freezing in the winter. But we are using a little bit more of it. You can drive by Wydot and Cody and see that we're making salt brine. And we're actually actively putting that out on the highways now, and it is helping us to get back to black pavement sooner than we had in the past, and it's making our driving conditions much safer for people. So, you know, leave early for work, leave early for that appointment, drive slower, get there safe.
You know, I talked to Tim Troutman from the National Weather Service about this, and I'll have you reiterate it, because a lot of people think they can just go out on the highways and take their trip and so forth and don't even think about it, have any kind of survival kit. But it's because they think, well, I'm not going to need this, right? I'm just going to Casper. I'll be fine. But you never know. Why is it important, Cody, to have a survival kit, if you can reiterate that, and what should it contain?
Well, bottom line, if something happens to your vehicle and you're wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt, which a lot of people do in the winter and drive,
that's right,
you could freeze to death. I mean, bottom line, I mean, let's cut through to the chase here. And so what you need to do is you need to think about, what would I need to do to survive, for instance, at 0 degrees with 30 mile per hour winds? Because that's a pretty common atmospheric condition in the winter in Wyoming. Sleeping bag, some non-perishable food, a flashlight, a candle, a book, because when people get bored, they make bad decisions like leaving their vehicle and walking down the road. Stay with your vehicle if something happens to it. You're on a state highway, somebody's going to drive by and help you. Now, today, everybody's got cell phones. Keep that cell phone charged up, because even if you're not able to make a call, very often you're able to send text messages or send a Facebook Messenger post or something like that. So be prepared in the winter. Make sure your vehicle has had the oil changed, has proper amounts of antifreeze, that your tires are aired up. You know, all the necessary maintenance things you need to do to your vehicle every winter. And then be prepared to survive that 0 degrees with 30 mile per hour winds. If you're not, you could be in big trouble if something happens to your vehicle out there on the road.
You know, and one thing, I think we've talked about this many times before, Cody, and you say this, and you explain this pretty well, is that if somebody does get their, has car trouble, and they look up the highway and they see a light, they think, okay, that's just, what, maybe, what, 200 yards away, I'm gonna walk it. And then they find out, wait, it's not nearly as close as the light is, as it looks.
Well, in Wyoming, we have a lot of wide open spaces, and that light may be 5 miles away. And if you leave the road and you decide to hike to a light in the distance, you could have big problems, and they might find you out in the sagebrush, you know, after a lengthy search. And you don't want to be found that way, because your family is going to have to deal with the death. And that's probably the lightest way I can say it, is your best protection against the winter elements is that vehicle that you've got. So stay with it if something happens.
Even though maybe the car isn't, you can't get it started, it's dead on the side of the road, at least you're in a place that's maybe going to protect you from the cold wind. It's not going to be nearly as cold maybe in the car that would be outside the car.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, if your vehicle is still able to run, say you drive off the road and get stuck in a snowbank, you may have to get out of your vehicle every so often and make sure that exhaust pipe is not plugged with snow. And that way you can run your engine for a little bit, get it warm in there, and then turn it off. But other than that, try to stay inside your vehicle. Stay as warm as you can. Keep drinking water. Keep eating a little bit of food. Keep your energy up. And keep an eye peeled for somebody driving down the highway that can stop and help you out.
We got about 40 seconds left, Cody. Anything you want to wrap up, maybe whether it's an upcoming project or maybe it's what we're talking about here, safety, wearing your seatbelt, anything like that?
Well, I'm a member of the Wyoming Seatbelt Coalition, and we approached Wyoming football coach Craig Bohl, who's a very busy guy these days, as we all know. Well, it took a while, but Coach Bohl recorded a couple 30-second seatbelt safety spots for the Wyoming Seatbelt Coalition. Those are currently running statewide, including on the stations of the Bighorn Radio Network.
That's right.
And we just want to, you know, wish the best to Coach Bohl and the Cowboys. They've got a big one this Saturday. And listen to the words that Craig Bohl says. Always buckle your seatbelt.
All right, Cody Beers of Wyodot. Hey, thanks for joining us via the telephone. I know that on your end it might have been a little rough hearing, but we appreciate it. Sounds like it worked out well. We'll get it fixed even better for next time.
All right, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Remember, get safely to your Thanksgiving dinner by buckling your seatbelt.
Okay, Cody, we will see you next month, sir.
Hey, great. Have a great day.
And that will do it for Speak Your Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.